listening to Screen View with Peter Van, Amy Morgan, and John Denny. Fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or join in on the conversation on Google+.
Hello, everybody. This is Screen View Episode 4. I have with me in video this week, John Denny and Lady Hello. Rec, aka Amy.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Doing okay. I'm surviving.
Surviving is always good. Surviving is always good.
It's the most important thing.
Kids had a lot of homework tonight. I swear teachers are not, they don't care about the kids having homework. They care about the parents having the homework.
Don't get me started.
But don't kids, you know, aren't parents happy because they occupies their kids so they don't get in trouble?
Because the kids need help.
Yeah, they need help, and
I would be such a
parents
failure.
End up doing it.
If I ever have kids, I would never be able to help them. They'd be like, "Dad, what's 2 times 7? I have no idea."
Ask your mother.
Yeah, ask your mother.
I am the mother.
Yeah. Ask your father. But Dad told me to ask your mother.
Yeah. Like, sorry, kid, you're screwed. You're right in the middle between the two of us. No, Daddy's. Daddy would be great with the math homework. Mommy's good with the English homework. And we were writing sentences that we refused to do for like an hour today. So.
Nice. And you were teaching them how to use, say fern, right? I mean, that was
yes, cool. Yes. Well, those are the spelling words that we had to get to that we had to practice. So he's like, what's a fern? I was like, I'll show you pictures afterwards. So, yeah.
Can't wait.
Enough about me.
Yeah. Can you wait, John? I mean, like, really?
I'm good.
Can you
wait? I'm good.
No, I'm good. Okay, so let's see, guys. So let's go through some news first, and then we can go into some of the juicy stuff.
All right.
So a couple weeks ago, we talked about on this very show that Netflix planned to split themselves. And now this week, Netflix has decided to not split themselves.
Oh.
So, Netflix has quickly quit Quixtar. And,
it was going that well, huh?
I came up with that like 5 seconds ago, so don't kill me if you
go online and type in www.quixtar.com, it takes you right back to Netflix.
Yep.
Where it used to be like, coming soon.
Nice.
Yeah, previously it was like, coming soon. It was like same color scheme as Netflix, and then instead it just said Quixtar on it. But now it's going back straight to Quixtar. So since they've dropped that idea, they've also dropped the video game component, which I'm a little upset about.
I was looking forward to that too. I was like, oh, cool.
But now they don't have, you know, like the separate sites anymore. So I remember, John, you were saying before, like, oh, it just makes it a lot harder. What does this... Would this actually get you to go back to streaming a lot? Like,
no.
No, it wouldn't say like, oh,
no,
yeah,
I
now
mean,
it's on one site.
It was nice to have the streaming, but we had... Steph and I had made a decision to drop the streaming before the news of the split came out.
Okay.
Only because the price, you know, the price is a little bit higher, and we weren't happy with the content of the streaming. So we decided to drop the streaming altogether, and then they came out with the news that they're splitting. And now that they're not splitting, we're back to where we were when they said we're dropping the streaming. So nothing has really changed for me.
Right.
Except the fact that I don't have to put together a new list of movies that I want to see on a different website.
Nice. Yeah, that was the best part about it. Because the more and more I thought about it, I was like, oh man, Quixtar is splitting. That means, because previously I would search for something on Instant, and it'd be like, okay, I could get it on Instant, like, right now, or if not, I could just add the DVD. And it's a lot easier on the website. And then I thought about, oh, now I gotta go to Quixtar, I gotta go to Netflix, I gotta juggle the two different windows, so.
I had never even looked on the website for what was available on Instant. I always searched through my Wii, which I had.
Okay.
The streaming setup, and you know, it wasn't the easiest setup because the way that the Wii controller is,
right?
You're
like typing,
yeah,
all these Christopher Walken movies,
and I would look for movies that are sort of obscure, but not, and then other movies that weren't so obscure, and it just wouldn't be available, and I'd just be like, you know, I forget it. I'll watch something I don't really want to, I'm not really in the mood to watch because I can't find this movie that I wanted to watch originally. So, like I said, nothing's really changed for me. You know, things have gotten easier just because I don't have to put extra work into creating another list on a different website, which is nice.
Right. Okay. Well, oh, Amy, you'll be happy about this. Netflix, if you ever think about it, they added CW stuff.
Oh, nice. To their streaming good. Service. Good. So I will be happy with that, yeah.
So if you ever do go for streaming.
I'm this close to trying it out, just to try it out, because I know I can get a free month.
Yeah.
Is that just CW properties, or is it like former UPN?
UPN, yeah.
I don't know.
Is that,
I think
it's that as well?
I think it's all the,
it might just be the
I think it's just
stuff.
The current stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's the most popular stuff. It's not like UPN was killing it on the charts, but
yeah, it's not like our show Off Center was really, people are really asking for it, you know.
I want that on DVD so bad, and it's not available.
I don't
it's
think
not
it's
available.
DVD, yeah, I think
it'll never be out on DVD.
I think we'll have to go through alternate means that this show does not condone.
I'm too lazy for that.
But awesome. Yeah, that's a nice little issue. That's a nice little thing to have.
Well, they will still be doing like the DVDs and stuff. It just means that they won't be making the Quickster be the name, right? They're just
yes.
Yeah, so they're not killing that whole. They're just saying, you know what? We're going to keep it under Netflix because
yeah, I mean their stock
Netflix
dropped.
Is Netflix. Everybody knows what Netflix is, but right. Quickster doesn't have a name behind it because it hasn't been created yet.
Because there was such a huge issue with people just like backlash. There was such a huge backlash. And a lot of people are actually applauding Reed Hastings, who's the CEO of Netflix, for actually saying, okay, this is a bad idea. Let's not do it anymore.
Stupid. Like, if they had came up with the idea for the website and called it Quickster, you know, 10 years ago, whenever it started, and then this point said, you know, we're going to start a new website called Netflix.
Right.
And have streaming available.
Yeah.
People would flock to that.
Right.
But they went about it backwards and, you know, blew up in his face. So,
yeah.
But, he instead of going with it and then finding out it was a bad thing and then the whole company going to crap, he decided, I'll stop it. You know, everything will be, it'll be better. And then their stock went back up. People liked it. And so...
I was gonna say it doesn't
immediate
doesn't
gratification.
Lost a boatload of money in the process.
They went up. They jumped a lot on the when they announced it. So you know he made a good move. So congratulations, Reed Hastings, for not screwing up the company.
he almost screwed up, but
right,
you know,
he almost did. But
he backtracked quick enough to stop.
He
that
saved himself from screwing it up.
Yeah.
So just a quick
now. Just don't rock the boat. For at least a good 2 years.
Yeah, don't raise any more prices for another 2 years.
You should fire whoever came up with that idea.
Yeah. Give himself a severance package.
Yeah.
A big one. Awesome. Just a quick box office update. Real Steel was number one this past weekend. The
Unbelievable.
Rock 'em Sock'em, the live action Rock 'em Sock'em robots. It's
unbelievable.
It's kind of crazy, right?
Yes.
But the reviews are pretty good, actually. People actually... I mean, it got a... pretty good reviews. People were like, even though it's like a good, like a, oh, it's pretty obvious what the script is, but you know, at the same time, it was well acted and Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman's in it.
Just,
you know?
I mean, when you look at the top five, it wasn't like a big. I mean, not to take anything from Bill Steele, I haven't seen it, so I can't deride it. Obviously,
right.
It wasn't a big weekend for movies.
Nope,
so
it wasn't.
Yeah.
Although,
who knows, like, if something else came out.
Although I half expected The Ides of March to do better than it did. No, you don't think so? It was it was marketed oddly, is what it was.
It right? just came out, Amy.
Yeah, the George Clooney movie. I thought people would flock to it just to see George Clooney and Ryan Gosling all in one picture, but
it's an Oscar bait.
Yeah, but I mean the movie was just
people will see it after it's nominated for.
That's true.
You know,
they'll re-release it and they'll make like $50 billion.
Just like what was that movie a few years ago? Michael Clayton.
Yeah. See those movies.
No,
all these.
All that originally, and then it was nominated for Best Picture, and George Clooney was nominated for Best Actor. So once that stuff kind
of
happens, everyone will see it.
It seems like that's what happens to a lot of his movies, right? They come out, and people are kind of like, "Okay, this doesn't sound like it's very, I'm not too sure what to experience from this. And then the Oscar comes and people are like, oh, I gotta go see this movie now.
Yeah, his political yeah. movies are all like that.
Yeah. Even even
the slow dramas.
Even like Good Night, Good Luck, right? Good Night and Good Luck was kind of was the same idea.
Good movie, but
yeah.
No one went to go see it.
Yeah. I saw it afterwards. I didn't have the chance to see it in the theaters.
But I put it on DVD.
Yeah, exactly. Same. And then followed by Dolphin Tale, which was number one last week. Moneyball is still number still in contention at number four. And 50-50 is
50-50 was what was that released?
That's
by?
The one with the kid that's got cancer. It looks like he's shaving his head bald.
Yeah. Seth Rogen and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Well, based on a true story.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It was like Seth Rogen's friend that is,
the guy. Yeah, the guy who wrote it is like a.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Seth Rogen's good friend and yeah. lived through cancer and wrote a movie about it.
Yep.
Wow. That's cool.
Pretty good.
But on our list here, it doesn't have. Do you know who released it or was it independent?
I don't know why it says not available. I would assume it's like a.
Is that like a Revolution Pictures or something like that?
It's probably one of those like smaller. It's probably one of those smaller studios or something like that.
Yeah.
But we can find out. I don't know exactly. This is what
that's
I
what
mean. Research while the show's going on. anyway,
that Avengers trailer.
Yeah, we can move on to the Avengers trailer. What did you guys? Oh, did you guys watch it?
Yes,
I did.
What did you? Let's go with Amy before John gets all like geeked out.
Okay.
What did you think, Amy?
I don't know that much about the Avengers other than that it's, you know, it's a Marvel team and, you know, some of the people that are on it and all that stuff. And so I was like, oh, this is cool. It's like, yeah, all right. I don't know that much about it. I don't know. I mean, I did watch Thor, so I did recognize the characters, and I've watched Iron Man, so I know who all the characters are. I see that it looks like Loki is going to be the bad guy because he's the only bad guy in there that I know. And so I'm like, okay, well, we'll see how it goes, man. Because, like, I don't know. I've heard both good and bad. I've heard good people say, I've heard people saying they're really excited for it. And then I've heard some that watched the trailer and said, yeah, I don't think so.
Right.
So I'm kind of like right in between going, yeah, okay, I might go see that. Sure.
Okay,
what
John.
I got to lose?
All right, John, go. Go for it.
No, I'm super psyched. I mean, I have been waiting for the Iron Man movie since high school. So when it finally came out, I was totally on board for that. And then, you know, the way it kind of steamrolled, and you know, they're going to have the Hulk movie and the Captain America, Thor.
Which
and
still haven't seen, by the way.
We haven't seen what?
The Incredible Hulk. I haven't seen that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one? There was two.
The other one was just
they
Hulk.
Consider
the
exist.
Hulk. The other one was just the Hulk, and then the Edward Norton one was the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
The one
the,
I definitely
the
saw the Incredible
Battle one is the one that they are pretending does not exist.
Yeah.
I know. It's so funny.
That was a different studio, though, right? Incredible Hulk was a Marvel film, right? Was it a Marvel movie?
Well, yeah. After that came out, after they started their own.
Yeah. After they brought it back, right?
Right,
yeah.
But the original was directed by Ang Lee, and it was not good.
I remember liking it when it first came out, though.
I mean, it's entertaining, and
it was a drama. It was kind of slow in places.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
And they did kind of have a little bit of a comic book vibe to it, but not, you know. I liked the first one. I didn't see a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't send me hate mail. But yeah, I think it's kind of funny that you can't find that one anymore because it's like it's been completely outed.
Banned.
Yep.
It's banned. Don't ever watch it.
Like the original Captain America movie.
Yeah. From the 80s? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I'm really excited. I mean, just to finally get to see the characters that you've seen in the movies, Iron Man and Thor and all those guys interact. Obviously, you've seen Captain or Thor. Ugh. You've seen Iron Man and Black Widow interact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just seeing the big three, Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor interact, and you know, with the minor characters like Hawkeye, which people may not know, but have maybe caught a glimpse of in the Thor movie.
Yeah.
Get that character fleshed out a little bit, especially. I mean, Jeremy Renner, who's playing him, I mean, that guy was nominated for 2 Oscars, right? So that's pretty good.
Yeah, he could do he could do humor as well. So you know, it's good.
Yeah,
he'll do alright. Hawkeye was a smart ass, so he'll do alright.
I'm just, I mean, the way that Tony Stark in the trailer played off with the different characters, I can't wait for 2.5 hours of that.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
We were talking about this before, John, and we were talking about this last on RFC, that this guy, you know, Robert Downey Jr. Before he went to heat rehab, he was Tony Stark. I mean,
even including the whole rehab thing.
Yeah, he just has to, like, you know, he just channels that part and he's pretty much like
comes back
got
on top
it down
of
the you know
he's the living embodiment of
pretty much so
exactly
yeah. Oh, gosh.
It's pretty exciting. I saw it and I was pretty happy about it. I like the fact that what's that
that's funny because I was waiting to bring this up because after they had shown the teaser thing at the end of Captain America,
which I didn't see, which
oh,
I didn't
see.
I haven't seen yet
because I saw Captain America as a screener, and they didn't show the end. As I was so livid, everyone was like,
YouTube.
"What is going?" Yeah, I had to watch it on YouTube.
Oh, so you didn't see it?
Yeah.
I remember talking to you about it.
I haven't seen that in the movie theater yet.
Okay,
so.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's okay.
No, I remember talking to Peter about it, and he was just like, "I don't know. The way they're building up, I'm not really sure." But I'm glad to hear that you've turned around a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that was a little weird, but I do like the fact that I think I have turned around it a little bit, and I like how they kind of, in the trailer, they didn't just continuously, like, flash all these different characters and try to make it too convoluted.
They started filming.
Yeah, they've definitely done a really good job of, like, building up, like, it's like, oh, you showed this character. Oh, I remember seeing this guy in movies. Saw this character. Oh, I remember seeing this guy. So I think they did a good job in the first like 7/8 of the trailer, and then when they got to Mark Ruffalo to like try to explain that he's the new Hulk now, I was just like, man, that was a little strained. I didn't, you know, I don't know really if he's really gonna be a good Hulk or not, but then again, you know,
my only problem with him as Bruce Banner is that he doesn't look frail enough, I guess.
But that was Edward Norton, I guess, right?
But he can look skinny. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, skinny and weak, as opposed to the Hulk, which is big and strong. Mark Ruffalo, when he's, you know, just normal Mark Ruffalo, he looks stocky-ish, I guess. I don't know how else to put it.
He's not a very skinny guy.
Whereas I see Bruce Banner as, like, you know, you walk by him and you push him over. Anybody could push him over, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was his thing, right? That's how he, that's his... That was definitely his thing, to be frail, and then he got bigger, and everyone underestimated him, and then he just decided to go green and kick everyone's ass.
But I think once everyone goes to see the movie, they'll get so lost in it, then you know, everything, they'll buy into it.
Yeah, I think so.
When you're watching a 2-minute trailer, you're like, this is gonna be terrible. I've watched Edward Norton be the Hulk, and he's the Hulk. But then when you go to see the movie, you're like, oh, it was great, you know.
You
forgot what you were thinking about when you saw the trailer.
Yeah.
Because you were probably focused on other people. He'll probably be one of the more background characters, I think.
Right. When these trailers come out and they're so hyped, a lot of the message boards that I frequent, it tends to be the people want to be the first one to not be on board. They want to be the cool kids.
Oh,
it's
really?
Like, oh, yeah, like, we'll see. I'll wait and see where... Everyone else is like, what's your problem? You know what I mean? Yeah. Just be excited for it, which I am.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. A lot of people don't really say specifically, but I don't know. I trust Joss Whedon. I think he knows what he's doing. He's got ideas. He's a good creator. He's a good director. So I think it'll turn out pretty well, I think.
Yeah. Definitely.
Cool.
I don't know. Like, I've seen a bunch of Joss Whedon TV shows and movies, but I don't know enough of his trademarks that if I'll be able to pick up on little things that he would do.
Yeah, I don't know if he has a specific style of directing, but he definitely he's pretty good in terms of like not destroying stuff. So I guess maybe Bryan Singer prior to Superman Returns, I guess. So just the X-Men movies. Bryan Singer X-Men, I guess. Like, he adapted. He changed it. Everyone was, like, pissed off at first. But then when they came out, people were like, oh, okay. I like the movies now. So I think he's good at that. I don't know if he has any trademark, like, movements, like Michael, like the Bay thing or whatever. But.
Big explosions all the time.
Yeah, like, and Bay likes to use, like, he has a specific movement, like the way his movies look. So
get out
of
the car.
I have to say, I think if I was going to put anything that he does really well, is he does really great character development. I seem to all of the shows that I've seen that Joss has done, he seems to really make really deep characters that seem to pop right off the, you know, they feel real and they're genuine. So if anything, that's what I would say he does.
Yeah, and he definitely doesn't take you as an idiot.
No, not at all.
So he, you know, he's going to have good dialogue. He's going to have character development. So
who's writing the movie? Do we know? Do you know?
Actually, Joss Whedon wrote the screenplay.
Did he write the screenplay?
That's even better.
He wrote it and directed it. So, you know, he's got his vision. So
okay.
It comes out in May of next year, so a bit far off, you know, 6 months. It's about 6 months. It's not too bad. So you guys can hold off for then. They're going to come out with some couple more mega trailers before that. So.
There'll be six or seven more trailers before.
So many characters. Yeah, one trailer.
As long as they don't do the Green Lantern thing where it's like, it seems like it's coming out in January and it doesn't come out until June.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you remember, like last summer they started showing trailers for that movie.
Yeah, and they took Super Bowl too. They took a Super Bowl trailer as well.
Yeah, and
it looked awful.
They made like I just assumed it was going to be coming out towards the end of the year, beginning of this year,
right?
And then it just never. It seemed like it never came out, and then it finally came out this summer.
Yeah, they were still filming it when it came out in the Super Bowl, and you could tell like the graphics were just awful, like the CGI.
I haven't seen
was
it
really
yet.
Bad. No. I mean, like in the trailer for in the 30-second trailer for on the Super Bowl, it was. Not that good. It was just like, and I heard the movie is. I've heard from multiple people. Actually, Amy, you saw Green Lantern, and you were not impressed.
Yeah, I wasn't really impressed.
The only thing I heard about it was that it gets caught up in a lot of the history of the Green Lanterns.
So
I guess I've been reading Green Lantern the comics for a few years now, so I'm well versed in it. So it'll probably be interesting to me. But if you never read it, then you might be like, what the hell are they talking about?
I was all right with it. I mean, because it just gave a sense of, like, that there was a lot of depth to it, which made me more interested in learning more about the universe. But my problem was more with how the conflict, it just didn't seem like
forced?
It seemed forced. Like, just the bad guy just did not seem authentic enough. I didn't know what his motivations were, other than the fact that, he was just...
Give me a ring.
Yeah, give me a ring. And got all into hate, and that was pretty much it. You know, I thought, well, his motivations just seemed like, for a guy that's been around for so long, that's been so in control of hate or whatever, and let it consume him, he seemed to be easily manipulated.
Okay.
And by the good guys, who was really, really, really new to this whole Green Lantern thing, so I don't know. That was, I had a hard time with that. So.
It's on my Netflix list, so I'll see it when it comes out on DVD.
All right, so now let's move on to television. let's see. There's a couple things that happened this week. If you guys have never seen the show, it's a USA Network show called Psych. Has returned. It came back yesterday on Wednesday. It airs on Wednesdays at 9 or 10. It's 10, actually.
Cool.
It's actually about, it's really, it's, I don't know if you've seen it, John. Have you seen Psych before?
It's funny. You know, Jack, that I went to high school with, his mom loves it. Whenever I go to his house, she's watching a DVD. So I've seen it in bits and pieces. It's so funny because I remember watching it at his house, and then like 2 years ago, they came out with The Mentalist on CBS, and I was like, no, that's Psych.
Yeah.
I've seen the show before.
The funny thing is, actually, if you ever see the two main guys, it's Dwale Hill and James Roday, if they ever ask them, they say, if they go on like a talk show to promote their show, they say, so what is Psych really about? And they're like, do you know The Mentalist? Yeah, it's like that.
Awesome.
Like, we're The Mentalists. They're like, but that's we awesome. Were first. So they were first, but they were the, yeah. So it's pretty much this guy, the main guy, Sean, who's played by James Roday, he actually he pretends to be a psychic. But in actuality, when he was a kid, his dad, who is a police detective, who is an ex-police detective, taught him to be very perceptive. So he would go into a room and he would be able to see every single detail and remember it. He also has like a photographic memory, I suppose. Yeah, he actually does. So then he's able to solve cases for the police department and have them think that he's a psychic. So he's like a psychic consultant, but in actuality, he's a fake.
But it's like a comedy, right?
Yeah. It's actually a really funny show because they put in a lot of like jokes here and there. So while The Mentalist is more like straight, they play it straight.
Right.
So Psych is a funnier version of it. So The Mentalist ripped off Psych and then got rid of the best part of the show. but it came back. It's in its sixth season. It's on Netflix. I blew through the whole five seasons sometime earlier this year. So
nice. I'm
pretty excited.
That's when you know a show is good, is when you can get it on DVD and watch it like instantaneously.
Yeah.
Like when I borrowed The Wire from my brother, I blew through it in a month.
Oh, and man.
it seems like a long time, but
it's a lot of work.
Really good. It's a lot of work, but it's a really good show.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I probably blew through The Wire within maybe a couple months, I think. And that was when – the reason it took so long was because The Wire's last season was actually taking place.
Oh.
I had to wait for that. And another show that premiered this week was The Last Man Standing, which is Tim Allen's
I meant to watch that.
Much maligned return to television.
Because really?
Apparently it's Home Improvement without the good stuff.
Without the comedy?
Apparently it's not as funny.
Aww.
So, because it's still, you know, back then Home Improvement was funny because it was these jokes about like him just being dumb and being, you know, very masculine, doing stupid stuff, but he's pretty much doing the same guy. So it's like 15 years later, or how long has the show been off? 15 years about, right?
Yeah, 94. No, it was on 94. I don't know when it went off the air.
But
96, 97.
It was a long time ago. So, you know, it's not as funny anymore when you just repeat those same jokes over and over again.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think if it was done in such a way where it wasn't obvious that he was trying to be the same character, it could have worked.
Yeah, I think he wasn't hiding it. I mean, and when you saw The Last Man Standing, you were like, okay, this is Home Improvement. except for he has, you know, a daughter who's a mom and... blah blah blah, you know, it's like, it's just,
so he's like an empty nester.
No,
he doesn't have any kids at home.
No, he's got all of his kids are at home. But his oldest daughter had a kid.
Yeah, I saw that on
so he's a grandfather.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, I don't need a man. He's like, well, you need a man once you got a kid, blah blah.
It was set up a lot funnier when I saw it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I saw it and I was like, uh-huh. Oh, okay.
I mean, they kind of overhyped. I mean, they were interviewing Tim Allen on Monday Night Football.
What?
Yeah, because he's from Detroit and the Lions were playing on Monday night.
Right.
So they interviewed him on ESPN for the Monday Night Football broadcast, which, I don't know, that's like, you know, keep sports in sports and keep comedy TV on, you know, the network channels. I don't need them together.
Yeah.
I didn't even see the interview. I was in the kitchen and the TV was on and I heard Tim Allen talking to the guy who was talking about Monday Night Football and I was like, what is going on? What channel is my TV on right now?
Yeah.
But it was on ESPN, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't foresee it sticking around because I think people are clamoring for the old Tim Allen. Tim Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
We'll see if he can watch it. He can tap into that. Or, you know, who knows? Maybe people will watch it and they'll be like, it's just not as cool as it was. And then it'll crash.
Yeah.
What did the rating show? Did they come out for that yet?
I don't think it did very well. I can let's see. It came up yesterday, right? It started yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, so the first show.
No, actually it wasn't. It started
It was a Wednesday show, I think, so
it was a Wednesday show, so it was yesterday. So it might have oh boy. That's not surprising. That's not funny. Let's see here. No, I don't think it was. It wasn't on yesterday. Is it a Tuesday show?
I don't know.
Maybe it is a Tuesday show.
I didn't watch it either, so I don't know.
Some other time. We were talking about this last week, John. The Simpsons actually got picked up for the 24th and 25th season.
I told you it would work out.
Yeah. I mean, they took about a 40% pay cut per actor, but, it's I guess they worked it out. It's kind of crazy because they were like, Fox is saying, the studio is saying, okay, you guys can't profit on the show, even though you're pretty much what makes the show.
Well, they said, I was watching a thing on the World News where they said that after they had made the deal, Fox is like, this is going to be another show, whatever. And the actors were like, well, we'll take a pay cut if we can make money from the merchandise. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no way. That's not going to happen. And
crazy. And then, I guess
they worked it out. And they were like, I guess all the voice actors, except for maybe Hank Azaria, who's got like a sort of film career, they were all like,
and a terrible television.
I'm not really doing anything else in my life right now, so I can stand to make $250,000 an episode.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Friends territory, which they were making. They were making a lot of money per episode, so
yeah,
it's not Friends territory, but it's okay. I think they can do well for themselves to do a 22 episode season for $250,000 a shot.
Don't let them fool you. They're not hurting for cash.
No, they're not. No.
And, $250,000 for, what is it, a 22 episode season?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
It must be really hard to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. It must be hard being a voice actor sometimes.
Yeah.
They're just looking forward to
at
retirement.
At least for The Simpsons.
Yeah. Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, they'll be all right for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you this, Peter. Is this a show that needs to end?
Simpsons? Yeah. I mean, I actually, I was never, when I was younger, I was actually not allowed to watch The Simpsons.
Neither was I, so I never got into it.
You know this, John.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you did. Most
dysfunctional family.
Oh, yeah. My parents are like, they're so crude. Eat my shorts. You get to see Bart's butt once in a while. I mean, and they were like, and it was like, what's up with the fact? Yeah, what's the fact that they don't have chins? What is that? What does that mean? Like, I don't know. It was just very
crude. It never occurred to me that you were never allowed to watch The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah. I totally wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons. The only time I watched The Simpsons was when I was over your house. That was the only time I watched The Simpsons.
Oh, so I was the bad influence?
Yeah. We already knew that, though. So,
I disagree that it needs to end. I mean, obviously, the quality is not going to be around forever. Me and Peter talked about this last week, but it's a show where it doesn't get caught up in anything, so each week can be a brand new story where at the end of the episode, everything's back to the status quo. So it's not too convoluted. It doesn't get caught up in any kind of higher meaning or anything like that. So I think it could go on for as long as they need it to, because the characters are not aging. Only the voice actors are. And the voices have sounded the same for 22 years so far. So it's not as though that quality is going down. So as long as the storytelling is still good, and in the 25th season they don't have this weird, like, Homer's dying sequence in, like, four episodes, then everything will be fine.
Yeah, but, I mean, they do run out of ideas after a while.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like you can only talk about, Bart freaking out about him not growing up so many times. It's kind of...
But every time you think about, like... Every time they talk about they're running out of ideas, it seems like they have like a sort of a decent show. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they kind of make jokes about, there was one episode where they went to Ireland or Japan, and Lisa goes, I think we've been to every continent now. And it's like, okay, obviously we've done this joke before, but you know, the jokes are still funny and people still watch it, so why not?
Yeah.
It doesn't take itself so seriously that it can't laugh at itself.
It,
so.
Yeah,
that's
it never
good.
Did. You know, it's,
it never did.
I don't think it did, right? I mean,
oh, did you know? You weren't allowed to watch it.
I know, right?
You heard it through the grapevine.
Right. I had to tell you about it in school.
Yeah. They never take themselves seriously, Peter. Oh, I'll use that. just to before we get into our discussions, we can talk about some renewal pickup news. Actually, it's more like it's actually crap news. It's like people being pulled off How to Be a Gentleman, which only lasted like 2 episodes on CBS.
Wow.
The production has been halted, and in the episode and the show has been moved to Saturday.
Oh, the kiss of death.
So you may as well stick a fork in it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
The kiss of death.
And Hader has also been pulled off of the CW, which is kind of surprising.
This
it must
was
have been
a bad
really
idea
terrible.
To begin with.
It must have been really terrible that you had to get pulled off of CW. I mean,
well, think about it. They had celebrities meeting people that were supposedly hating on them. I was like, how many celebrities really want to do that?
Yeah, that's like the opposite of what a celebrity would want to do.
Exactly. Oh, gosh.
I'm not surprised that How to Be a Gentleman is being canceled, or is probably going to be canceled, unless for some reason it does really well on Saturday nights.
Yeah, doubtful though.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I'm upset about is that the guy who created it was from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh.
So, that's a show I like, but maybe he'll get back to that.
Yeah,
so.
But it was just weird because they were trying to like play off of like, I don't know, every single time I saw a promo of it, I kept thinking the guy was like Neil Patrick Harris, looked exactly like him. They kind of tried to market it that way. It's like, oh, it's just a manlier version of How I Married Your Mother,
yeah.
You know, How I Met Your Mother kind of thing, you know.
And it was based on something, or like supposed to. Oh, it's supposed to be like an updated Odd Couple, I think is what I heard. But why wouldn't they do a couple?
But that was also like 50 years ago. I mean,
oh, yeah,
I don't know
but...
if anybody that sees the Odd Couple now, it's like, oh my god, their jokes are so funny and groundbreaking. It's like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, if they put the Odd Couple on TV now, they'd be like, well, that one's clearly gay and that one's a jerk. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't think, I mean, people who watch it for nostalgia purposes, right? They don't watch it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it was a funny show, but.
No, yeah, it was definitely a funny show, but I don't know. I don't think it would. If you colored it, it wouldn't last. I don't think.
Can I ask what celebrities they had on this Hader show? I never even heard of it.
I saw a few of the promos for it, and I just decided I don't want to watch that. It's a reality TV. I'm like, whatever.
I know of one guy, and that was that guy from The Bachelor. Whatever his name is.
So it's celebrities.
Fact, yeah, it's
not,
quite literally like
not,
somebody's raging about a celebrity and they've like turned them into this show.
Yeah.
And the celebrity is then contacted and they're supposed to confront the people that have been hating on them to see if they're just acting like that or if they really do hate them or if they can change their minds.
Yeah.
And I thought, really? It's like, that's a bad situation to begin with.
Here's a quick rundown of the 5 episodes that they've made so far. First episode was Snooki and the Bachelor Jake Pavelka.
Were they meeting each other or
no,
meeting
they,
people that hated them?
They met the haters. So there was one where they
okay.
showed it. I think it was on like Jimmy Kimmel, I saw it or something like that. And they were talking about Jake, like, met this girl that was at the pool. He's like, oh, do you have a boyfriend? She's like, no. And if I did, I certainly wouldn't want you. And he's like, she was like, no. And he's like, oh, do you want one? And she was like, blah. It was really stupid. It was very scripted. It was obviously scripted. It was very stupid. Episode 2 was Eva Longoria and Scott Disick of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Number 3 was Kim Kardashian and Girls Gone Wild creator Joe Francis. I think Joe Francis can just walk into, like, a female, like...
I thought he was in jail.
I think he came out. I think he got out.
Oh, okay.
He was in jail, I think, for a little bit, yeah. For, like, tax fraud or something, right?
Yeah.
Number 4 was Dancing with the Stars with dancer Maxim... I don't know. And wrestler The Miz. That's actually The Miz. You know who The Miz is, John. They interview him. He's, like... Well, they interview him once in a while on the show on Preston and Steve that we listen to.
Okay, yeah.
He used to be like a reality show star. Like, he was on Road Rules or something like that. So I don't know why you would hate on a wrestler because you just kick your ass, but you know, whatever.
Exactly.
Number five.
I'm pretty sure that they're probably just like, I need something to do it because my career is probably over.
Yeah.
Put me on TV. Yeah. I don't care where it's at.
This is why it's not going very far.
Yeah. And then the last episode that they have listed here is America's Top Model, Next Top Model, Judge, Janice Dickinson. And this is actually the best one that I would like. I'd be interested in watching is Levi Johnston. I would just like to watch whoever hates him just to, like, trash on him. I mean, I don't know how you could not hate Levi Johnston, just or anybody associated with Levi Johnston.
Let's not get into that.
Yeah, let's not get into that. Yeah, okay. So this came out last week, and I asked you guys your opinion on it. I felt like it was interesting that we could try to talk about a little bit more. In an NPR radio piece, they talked about, if you don't have, it's like, in the age of DVRs and people skipping through commercials, how do advertisers fix that? And that is either putting heavily advertised, like, oh, could you throw me a Pepsi instead of can you throw me a soda? Or just the shows themselves being huge, advertisements. In this radio piece, they specifically referenced My Little Pony, which is originally My Little Pony, was a, in case the people that are listening don't know, My Little Pony was a girl's toy, or is still a girl's toy, and it became a show where they're, I don't know, are they superheroes? I have no idea. Going through life, I'm not sure.
The ponies?
Yeah, My Little Pony.
I don't even know what the ponies
do. You haven't watched My Little Pony, have you?
No, I haven't. Have you? Have you seen My Little Pony, Amy?
I've seen quite a bit of the first season, but really? Not all of it.
What do they do, exactly?
They just go, like, okay, it's a group of, like, they're, because it's called, it's My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. So it's very, let's just say that they all have their own little personalities, and they get, like, in these little conflicts that they have to get into, and then they have to fix the problem, and, and then it's just...
Like the Smurfs.
Kind of like the Smurfs, but, like, it's very girly.
Okay. Nice. Okay, so it's like, the day in the life of a pony kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. Except, that, like, at the very beginning, it was kind of like they were following one of the ponies who supposedly... Okay, her name was Twilight Sparkle, and she... has been so involved with, like, I guess, learning the history of stuff that she hasn't made friends, and so she's basically, her orders is to go and have a social life, and she's assigned to go to this specific city or town, and she makes friends, and then they have all of these different things that they have to do, and it can be very adorable and hilarious. And supposedly there is a huge following in both on male and female side.
Yeah. I've read about that.
We've had this before where
character development is just so good that,
apparently, so
I only watched it so long until I felt like I had, like, that feeling that you get when you've eaten too much candy and you kind of feel like you're overload. Just like, yeah, I got a little
too
overloaded with it, so I had to quit for a while.
Twilight
but I'll
Sparkle.
Probably go back to it.
Too sweet.
That's really terrible.
You.
That's really. So they interviewed a man who was part of a public advocacy group, if I can say that correctly, called Public Citizen, Robert Weissman. He called advertising shows that are in effect themselves advertisements or are heavily advertised is nefarious, quote unquote nefarious. He pretty much says that kids, it's nefarious because kids don't know that they're being advertised to. So in essence, that you are pretty much, I don't know, is it like considered like subliminal messaging or something like that?
No.
Something very bizarre.
It's the opposite of subliminal. It's very obvious.
Yeah. So, I mean, so in a rebuttal, Margaret Loesch, who is the CEO of the hub that airs My Little Pony, says that, these shows are really there just for entertainment purposes, and they're, it's not anything wrong with it because most shows nowadays have something attached to it in terms of merchandising because of
very true.
This DVR. issue. So
here's what it boils down to, is that he is being overly dramatic, this guy, Robert Weissman, okay, on one end, and on the other end, in the rebuttal, Margaret Loesch is not being truthful, because there's no way that it's just entertainment value.
Right.
Okay? I grew up watching the Transformers, which was a half-hour cartoon, okay? Not only was it a half-hour cartoon, it was a half-hour commercial that, you know, I went out and bought the Transformers, Transformer sheets, Transformer, you know, underwear or you know, whatever.
Transformer shoes. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Everything.
Ninja, for me, it was Ninja Turtles. And I had everything was Ninja Turtles. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's the same idea. And G.I. Joe was a cartoon based on an action figure.
I watched all these shows, and I never got any of those toys. What are you talking about?
It might have been. I mean, if they had a Barbie show, you probably would have had.
No,
oh, my God.
That's the thing, like, is that, okay, get this. This is where it's just like, are you insane? Where does it say in there, you must buy these toys? I never really bought into this. It's the same argument they had way back when we were kids. I remember because my mom was like, no, don't watch that because it's just a big advertisement. And I was like, and?
But yeah, even
we're not going to go out and buy the toys.
And they even made fun of it, right? In like A Christmas Story, right? Where they're like, it's an advertisement. And he like freaked out. Right? So it wasn't like kids obviously know about it and they know what they the issue with these public advocacy groups like this, you know, public advocacy group and saying, you know, the parent teacher, you know, union thingy majiggy, and they're just pretty much saying, my kids are idiots. You need to watch them for everything. It's like they are so stupid they can't think for themselves. I was like, really? I mean,
but even if they were, even if these shows were advertisements, it's not the kids don't have jobs. The kids don't have the money to go out and buy the toys or whatever or other merchandise that's out there. It's up to the parents to be like, you know what? You can watch that show as much as you want, and that's the entertainment you're getting out of it, but I'm not going to spend $15 on this toy or these sneakers or whatever, because you don't need that. You can get these other sneakers that are cheaper and are just as good. So it's not up to the kids. It's up to the parents. So that's where the responsibility lies. I mean, I'm not a parent. Peter's not a parent. Amy, you've got kids, so you understand where the responsibility lies. You have kids, and you have to watch out for them. You can't let some, you know, ominous advocacy group watch out for your kids. That's even scarier than you watching out. And I know
that'd be really scary. Oh,
yeah, or like, you know, that's scarier than letting some guy off the street watch your kids. It's, you know, because you don't. They've got an agenda. This advocacy group is a lobby, and you know they go to the politicians and say, we want this, we want this, we want this. And if they get one of those things, then they're happy. And it's just, you know, they've got something on their agenda, and this is on their agenda right now.
That's very true.
So I don't see what this guy's end game is. Like, does he want these shows taken off the air? Does he want only educational cartoons on the air? Because guess what? There's Blue's Clues merchandise all over the place, and that's an entertainment or
very educational. You
know. Yeah, educational show.
It is.
So.
My kids are reading books because of a lot of stuff that they've watched on TV that they can get, you know. Blue's Clues was one of them. So
yeah, so.
You
know,
in fact, I've got a book. I bought a book because they had a Blue's Clues on it, whereas, what is it? My kids just pulled it out the other day and started going crazy with it again. The one where they have the letters going up the coconut tree, and it's fun. It's fun. And I don't remember what the name of it is, doggone it. But yeah, it's right over there. Oh, Chicka Chicka Boom Boom. That's what it's called.
Chicka Chicka Boom. That sounds.
In fact, it's right over here on my coffee table.
That doesn't sound child appropriate.
Oh, it's so child appropriate because it's just.
Clues, clues.
It's what the letters say as they're going up the coconut tree.
Right. That's the point, is that even educational stuff is commercial-esque. I mean,
oh yeah, I'm sure that Chicka Chicka Boom Boom did really well after that Blue's Clues thing. I mean, hey, I bet everybody went down and bought that book.
And how many shows did the Wuggles? Is that a thing? The Wuggles? Like, how many live shows?
The
those
the Wuggles?
Isn't that like a group of people
the
that do songs?
You mean the Wiggles?
Maybe.
It's like a singing group band kind of
thing. Yeah, kids, right?
Yeah, it's called the Wiggles. Yeah.
How many shows do they do? And they have a TV show. So, I mean.
I think it's like dating even back for like the longest time is there will be some merchandising or something tied into it. I think kids aren't, you know, our generation isn't stupid. Neither will our future generation be stupid.
And, hey, I was educated by this.
Yeah, and I'm really happy that, Amy, you're saying, like, I know that I need to take care of my kids.
Yeah.
And I need to, you know, if they're, you know, if they're watching something like The Simpsons and you think it's wrong, then you tell them not to watch it.
Exactly.
It's not like
it programmed your TV to make sure that they can't watch.
Yeah,
exactly. Nowadays, it's even you've got even more control as a parent because if you don't want your kids to watch it, you just pull the plug.
Right.
Don't get the channel. Don't have cable.
Or block it. Right. You can block so it. Easily block it nowadays.
There's so many things that there's so many options that parents have nowadays. And the other thing is that you know. Okay, I get it. You know, there are some parents that are like, hey, you know, my kid is whining about this toy and I can't stop it, so I'm going to buy them a toy. And then they just keep on doing it. It's like, you know what? You have other issues then if you can't say no to your kids.
Right. Then when they say, mom, can I do cocaine? You're like, yeah, sure.
My experience with kids is I have a dog, and the first thing they tell you is if your dog is crying and you go to calm him down, then he's learned that when he cries, you come and fix the problem.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the opposite. It's the opposite effect of what you want to happen is that, you know, you have to understand that you don't always get what you want, so you have to deal with it. So, you know, being a parent saying, you know, you're not getting this and that's final, it's kind of like that same thing where you got to be like, you know, you got to put your foot down and say, no.
Kids are about just like that.
Knock it off. All right, well, thank you. Good discussion. Very good. Thank you. I'm glad we're all in accord, and this guy's an idiot. Oh, anyway.
This guy is just crass. I mean, that's what he is.
I mean, look, he's a lawyer, and he's got a job to do, and he's got to make his money, and that's fine, but he's throwing things at a wall and seeing what sticks. And this is something where there's no point where he would be, you know, he could kick his heels up and say, okay, I've done it. You know,
he made a really lousy job at it too. Because I have to say, it was a stronger issue back in the day. I remember it being a stronger issue. There were more people talking about it and more buzz about it back when they had all the, you know, the Transformers and stuff like that. Back when I was 8 years old, because everybody was talking about it then. I remember my mom talking about it. I remember a lot of other people talking about it. So I have to say, you know what? It's an old issue. And you're right. He's probably throwing it against a wall to see if it sticks. But it's just kind of like he's not really doing a very good job at trying to get people riled up about it because it's
just going in for Disney.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's just kind of like really. It's like were you
who's the villain? Yeah.
Just try a little bit. Because
speaking of nefarious, I mean, you go after Disney, everyone like America's favorite company. Everyone loves Disney, so who's going to be looking like the bad guy?
Putting Woody in handcuffs? I mean, come on.
Yeah. It ain't going to happen, man. It ain't going to happen.
All right, so let's see. Now, you guys might be interested in this. Sunday on AMC at 10 p.m., The Walking Dead returns.
Yes.
It is. If you haven't seen it yet, you can catch the first season, which is only like a couple of. It's only several episodes. It's not very long. It's not even a full cable season.
It was six episodes.
Yeah. So it's like half a regular cable season. Crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's on Netflix now. So if you have Netflix streaming, go grab it. Or if it's on, I think it's on DVD. It's been on DVD for quite a while now. So you can always just go and grab that as well.
But, it's not hard to get a hold of it.
No, it's not that hard to get a hold of it. It's widely available. And I'm sure
whatever that means.
Yeah, I'm sure you could if you have AMC.
You can take it any way you want it.
You can also tune into AMC and they'll probably be like playing like a marathon of it. It's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, and if I remember right, I think one of the episodes was actually on the actual website when it was out.
The first episode was out.
The first episode. It might still be there. Yeah. You go check it out.
It's possible.
Yeah.
The episode was up for a while before the show even aired.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it got its second full season, 13 episodes of regular cable season.
Nice! We're going to get 13 instead of 6.
Yeah, you get a 13.
Which means a less of a wait for next season if it gets picked up again.
Oh, yeah.
I think, well, I guess we could, let's... So The Walking Dead, you know, it's good. And then The Walking Dead, you know, with Frank Darabont and everything like that. And then it is actually an AMC show. So AMC is so the thing is between that is like Breaking Bad and Mad Men are distributed.
They've got a lot of really good shows.
Yeah, but they're developed by most of the money is put up by other companies. Like specifically Mad Men is by Lionsgate Television.
Right.
So AMC has less leverage on it. Walking Dead is one of AMC's first shows.
Original.
An AMC original series is where they can actually say it's an AMC.
You know what? I think I did know that.
That's cool.
They cut their budget by a lot. And I think that was actually one of the contentions in why Frank Darabont actually left the show or AKA got fired for trying to test people and doing all this stuff because they kind of doomed the show, I think, right? I mean, they cut it. They're like, we're going to do all these. We're going to do all this. And then they've created kind of like, by firing Frank Darabont in that public of a way, it's kind of created like a morale issue. I guess, what do you guys think? Is it dooming Walking Dead that, you know, Breaking Bad and Mad Men got a lot of money. They won out eventually because they were in huge contract disputes, so they eventually won all their money. Is AMC screwing Walking Dead by doing this kind of stuff?
Yes and no. I mean, the end of it is that, not the end, but what the issue is that Mad Men basically put AMC on the map, I guess.
It did, absolutely.
It was a show that brought a lot of the viewership and said, hey, you know what? Network TV not doing it for you. We've got a lot of good shows to watch.
And actually, AMC doesn't actually make money on on Mad Men. They actually, that they're keeping
advertisements,
is,
right?
They actually don't make that much from advertisement either because Mad Men is such an expensive show. It's a very, very expensive show.
Everything has to be period. So it's like,
it's a very well shot. It's a very detailed show. So. But
it brings the audience to the network.
Exactly, they keep it around because it is what gets them better.
It gets the attention
for further things like The Walking Dead, kind of thing.
Right. So they can't when Mad Men was up for their contract renewals, they couldn't say, you know what, we're not going to pay you because without Mad Men, they wouldn't be where they are right now with The Walking Dead and with Breaking Bad and shows like that. Where they have the audience to show that kind of stuff. But on the other hand, obviously you can't give Mad Men all of your money because then you're screwing the other shows because they don't have any money to make or produce or whatever. So it's kind of a fine line that AMC had to walk in saying, you know what, we don't want to burn our bridges with the show that made us, but we want to have our own stuff too.
Yeah.
So it depends on. It really depends on, in my mind, the viewership of The Walking Dead. If as many people come back to watch it as watched it last year, then I think it'll be all right because it'll at least show AMC, hey, we got the viewership to watch the show. It doesn't matter that we gave a lot of money to Mad Men, so we can continue to make this, and people will still come back and watch it. I don't know, what's the deal with Breaking Bad? Is that an original show as well?
No, it's another studio as well.
Okay.
But
you know what? That show also brings in a lot of viewers, and especially I don't watch it, but a lot of what I've heard about this last season, especially, people are hanging on the edge of their seats watching that show. So
it made it broke records for its season finale this season.
Right,
it did a really, really good job.
As long as they can keep the viewers coming back and watching, then it shouldn't be an issue. But if things start to fall off a little bit, then who knows what the future is?
Mm-hmm. Breaking Bad is produced by Sony Pictures.
Okay,
so it's not an AMC original, but The Walking Dead is. But yeah, hopefully, you know, they, hopefully it does well. You know, The Walking Dead, hopefully it finds its feet again. And
listen, it broke a record for most cable watched show, I think, for when it premiered last year.
It's crazy. And even for the season finale, right? I think it did really well too.
Yeah.
It pulled in a lot of viewers. So,
you know, if I could have a Nielsen box in my house, then all these shows would be fine.
That's another discussion we'll have to. We'll definitely talk about Nielsen boxes. It's very an interesting thing. But right now, we should talk about something more interesting to us, which is Fringe.
Yes, Fringe.
What do you guys think so far?
I'm a week behind.
We're four. No. Well, we're gonna.
I just caught up yesterday.
It's on my DVR, so anyway. I will watch it, but I've been busy, so.
Yeah, don't be angry.
It happens.
But Amy, what do you think so far since you've all caught up?
I'm liking it. I know that, like, you know, they're still kind of building the intrigue if they're going to figure out whether or not Peter is missing or not.
Yeah.
But I really liked this last episode because, like, you get this, you see the type of person Walter has become when Peter has been removed from the whole, his life, basically, because he basically tells this little kid that, you know, his son died, and we find out what happens to Peter now that he's been taken out of the timeline, and you kind of feel bad for Walter. It's like, oh, poor Walter. But
he's also been driven mad a little bit by having the visions of Peter. So it's not like just the absence of Peter, but it's the absence of Peter and then being freaked out by seeing somebody who doesn't recognize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll drive him a little bit more insane than he was when we first saw him.
Yeah, so we don't want to... Sorry, John, we're going to spoil it for you. But at the end of this episode, Walter freaks out again because he sees Peter once again. And
he's freaking out even more in this one. Like, yeah. Agent Broyles comes up and starts talking to him, and he starts hearing Peter at the same time, and he starts, yelling, and he can't hear over the voice, and so he's, flipping out.
He's like,
It happens like two or three times on the show. It was like going, oh no, poor Walter, he's going to get committed again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it didn't help that, like, him being committed
was good because
was a huge impact on him, too.
It leads him to what he does at the very end, which Olivia catches him trying to give himself a lobotomy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He's got this pin in his head.
Oh.
He's like, it's fine. All I needed to do is just. Just hold this, and I'm going to hit it. It'll be fine. And then she finally didn't know about this, I don't think, until now. So she says, so what did you see? What did he look like? You know, I like the way they grew a little better in this, actually, on this version of Olivia, because this version of Olivia was always, because Peter was around, she was a little bit less tolerant of Walter and his antics. Mm-hmm. But with Peter gone, she seems to be more more caring of him, and she seems to do more things that, like, kind of comfort him because Peter isn't around.
It is a little backwards than the way she first seemed towards him when the show first started.
Yeah, because, you know, Folivia, the Olivia from the other side, she was nicer. She brought donuts. Or something like that. She bought some sort of
sweet. She was buying his love.
Yeah, she was, you know, she really, she knew the way to buy into his, you know, into his good side. So she did it. And it was definitely a completely different side. But it was nice to see that Olivia is now moving towards that. She's being nicer to him. But that's just a side observation, is that now it turns out that Olivia also sees Peter in her dreams every night.
Yeah.
To the point where she can sketch out a facial, you know, like she sketches out his face, and she carries it in her pocket, and she's like, I see him every night. So now Walter has been kind of vindicated to think that I am not crazy.
I'm not crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I'm not as crazy as I was before.
Everybody at home's going, yay, too, because you don't want to see him committed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's a little weird, but he's brilliant.
I do like that this year they're like, you know, they're getting to the point where it's like, okay, I like that they're doing this whole season arc where it's like, where's Peter Bishop and everything? Because previously it's like, okay, where is the underlying plot going? I'm not really sure where it's going. This machine's coming. They talk about the machine, and then three episodes or four episodes later, they reference it again. You're like, wait, what was that again? I don't remember anymore. Because it's like a month ago. I don't remember anymore.
or it was like baseball season, so it completely
the Elliott
skipped
problem.
It.
They're unbolded.
They've been really good about building up to that, and then we had the whole machine thing, and now Peter's been taken out of the timeline, and you're like, going, no!
Yeah, so they're doing a really good job.
They got us right where they want us.
Yeah. Unfortunately, baseball is returning, so it will be gone for, I think, about a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks. Aww. So you'll forget about it all again. So, John, you may want to keep that episode on your DVR and then watch it right before Fringe comes back.
Yeah. It would be a little bit harder if the Phillies could have stayed in the playoffs, but that's a story for another day.
Right. Right. Now it's not as fun anymore.
I'm not even watching it.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people are watching it because last night, Modern Family beat over, like, extra innings baseball.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it's kind of like, wow. Okay.
We're medium to small markets.
Yeah. Nobody's interested anymore. Because it's like, you know, it's not the Yankees, it's not the Phillies, it's not the Red Sox. It's not the big teams that you want to see. Yeah, like all the other ones are kind of like, okay, all right. Cool, they're comeback kids, but, you know, interesting. But
who cares?
Right.
I'm not bitter.
Right. No. Of course not. All right. Well, so Fringe is another episode tomorrow, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep, tomorrow night.
So. It's definitely a very good season. It's a very intriguing season. And we will definitely revisit it later when more things have developed. I'm still interested in what the Watchers are doing. The Observers are
doing. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who are they trying to... Yeah, the Watchers. I don't know where I got that from.
And how in the world
did
they...
It was the bald guy from Marvel Comics.
Yeah, that's right. The Watch. Yeah, right. The big forehead guy, yeah.
How in the world did they get to where they are? Are they like a futuristic human society that has gone back in time to help kind of guide humanity? Are they aliens? What are they? Yeah.
You know what they kind of remind me of?
Don't explain it because I like the mystery of just being like, okay, they're around us. They could be around us right now. Who knows?
They kind of remind me of a non-violent version of the enemies in Dark City. Have you guys ever seen Dark City?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. I actually just saw it this weekend. The Matrix? Yeah, it was kind of weird. It was like right before the Matrix. You know, it was a couple years before the Matrix. They reused a lot of the sets and stuff. That's actually why I wanted to watch it, because I was interested. Yeah. I've never seen it, and then it got really good ratings on Netflix, so I was like, yeah, I'll watch it. Why not? You know, 5 years later. Interestingly enough, they look exactly like those guys. They're bald. They have no eyebrows. They look a little bit like Moon Kid, you know, like the Moon Children. Like, they're very pale, and they don't seem like they get a lot of sunlight. But it's very interesting. They're definitely a non-violent version. They can be violent, but they're more like, you know, they're more observers, and you get to see them.
They don't get involved, although
they're not supposed to get involved.
But you do see them, like, if you watch it closely enough, in every single episode, the main observer actually shows up in the episode.
Oh.
Either in the background or walking
in every episode.
In every episode.
Since the beginning of the show?
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah. Huh. I'm going to have to go back and look now.
Ever since, it's like, but it's sometimes really hard to...
The observer guy that's gotten involved, in other words.
Yes, the main one who almost wiped Peter from the timeline.
Yeah, but then he didn't, and I was like,
which is definitely interesting, because remember the last time he strayed from the timeline, what happened? Crazy stuff exists. Serious stuff took place. So he didn't wipe him from the timeline, which means Walter's crazy, and now Olivia's crazy too. and we'll see how that develops.
Yep.
I was very confused by that sequence in that episode. It was the second episode, I think, when it was like, wipe him from the timeline, and it was outside of Walter's window.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, who is he going to wipe from this timeline?
Yeah.
Because I was like, is he going to wipe Walter from the timeline? Because how would that make sense?
Yeah, he might be going, like, maybe he goes, like, individually to each person to wipe it from their timeline, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure. So hopefully the show is definitely going on a right track, and it's definitely building up to something crazy. So
yep.
I'm excited.
And we're along for the ride. Yay! Yes.
All right. Well, I think that's a wrap, guys, for this week.
Awesome.
Thank you for joining us again and talking TV shows. We'll be back next week. I am Peter Van with John Denny and Amy Morgan. See you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Screen View. Screen View is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.